today on Real Radio.
But even that is good if they give with the right heart. It would be wrong for them to give $1 million with a rotten heart. Man, are you troubled? Do you have a tendency to be troubled by the pressures of life? Listen, you guys, this is free, what I'm going to give you right now. It's totally free. No charge. Worship. Worship.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Pastor Jack is delivering another series within a series taken from chapter 7 of 1 Samuel. It's called Getting the Victory in Your Life. Isn't that a great title? And so far, we've seen the biblical passages like this one and others that give us insight into how to gain that victory. It's really in ways that we wouldn't expect. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his mini-series called Getting the Victory in Your Life.
Be aware of your weaknesses. Why? Because take those things and give them to the Lord and see what He does with them. And listen, I'm going to volunteer every one of us in this room tonight. We are all weak in areas. Every one of us. Every one of us. I tell you, and I've told you before, I freak about standing in front of you guys teaching the Bible. I get all goofy inside, my stomach, my mouth gets dry, I start to get, like a panic rush beforehand. I'm trying to enjoy the worship and fear, and I can't even identify it. It's like, where's this coming from? What is this thought I'm having? And these thoughts, can I be this candid with you or what? Yeah, you say yeah now, and then you're going to write me a note. I can't believe it. But I tell you, there are so many times I'm dreading the walk up to the pulpit because I'm thinking, God, please show up. Please do something with this message that makes no sense to me. I'll study all week. And it makes sense all week. Then Sunday morning I get up and I'm going, what was I thinking? And I have to come and I'm thinking, God help me, God please. And then the other thing is, I'm always wondering on Saturday nights with all the effort, the prayer that's gone into preparation, I'm always thinking, Lord, is anyone going to show up on Sunday morning? I think this every Saturday night. Lord, is anyone coming tomorrow? And I can't believe people pull up. I'm looking out my window out of my office going, what? This is both great and pathetic. God, thank you that they're coming, but what am I going to say? It's a scary thing. I'm often afraid. And then someone will say, well, will you come and speak? And the Lord and I made a deal a long time ago that if the offer comes, I'll pray that God would not want me to go, that I'm going to go. Lord, if you don't want me to go, just not have it happen. Because I'm going to use my body for you until I die. So I'm going to go and do this. If you don't want me to go, you stop it from happening. I'm very open to you stopping it. And I'll go. And it's a weird, torturous thing. Because flying there or driving there, I'm thinking, God, what am I going to say? Talk to me, okay? Tell me whatever. Go ahead, you can talk right now. It'd be great if you told me what to say. It's a weird thing. And Paul said it perfectly. He says, we die daily. And I got to tell you, I die daily. It's the weirdest thing. But the good thing is, Lord, keep letting me die. You live your life through me as much as you want. Please keep me out of the way and do your thing. Because I tell you, sometimes it's very, very good to be afraid. I love seeing a little kid when they're afraid. They hide right behind their dad's knee. Have you noticed that? They hang on to his calf or his knee or his thigh, and they just peek out once in a while. That's a great place to be. Why? It's all of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And I tell you, with a name like Zerubbabel, you want to have the word of the Lord being spoken to you. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by pulling off a big show. Not by forcing your way, but by the Spirit of God. That's how things are done the right way. Verse 8, we learn living a dependent life upon God. There's a calling upon God's, listen, a calling upon God's others. Say what? Yeah, his people. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us. Living a dependent life upon God is a very important thing because God wants to use us to touch others in the family of God. Isaiah 55, verse 6 tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. There's a window right now for all of us that are in the hearing of this message that God is calling you to bless other people. That's quite a project. You know that? To bless others? Can you imagine if we didn't get anything out of this message tonight but this? Leave this building determined to bless other people. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. That's for, again, you to find out, for me to find out. Because I'm going to guess that the blessing is going to be as diverse as the situation that you encounter. I think it was yesterday. I'm not sure if it was yesterday. A man came into the church. He's a homeless guy. And the church was closed. The door happened to have been unlocked, and yet he came in, and it was late. And he needed help. Well, everything's locked up, and I don't even have access at that time of the day even to money. If my life depended on it for this man, I had nothing in my wallet financially, zero, not a penny. And while the guy, I go, what do you want? What are you saying? What's going on? And he was very cool. He says, well, first of all, I'm a brother in the Lord. And, you know, you hear that all the time. And especially as I'm listening to him, I could smell something funny coming from him. And I said, let's step outside, okay? So we stepped outside, and I got him away from the other people who were there. And I said, do you smoke pot? Because you smell funny. And he just goes, no, man, I just ate a grapefruit. And I said, what? He said, I just ate a grapefruit. I said, you smell like you're smoking pot. And he goes, smell my hands. I just ate a grapefruit. And I said, oh, you're right. It's a grapefruit. I'm sorry. Come on in. So I brought him back in because I didn't want to ask him in front of people. And but I was going to bust him out there if he was doing drugs and wanting a handout. But he wasn't. And so I just said, listen, we have access to no cash, but we don't want you to be without. And so listen, go down to this hotel, and that's going to be your place for the night. And he was just so sweet. Oh, man, thank you so much, and praise the Lord. You know, I may never see that guy again. Was he an angel? I hope not. Jack, remember that day that you insulted that angel? He was sent from my throne room directly. But the scripture says we need to be careful that, you know, we could be entertaining angels without knowledge. You know, they appear as men at times, and that's pretty wild, you know. So much so that Peter would write about it. Be careful, you know, how you treat a stranger, because you could be entertaining an angel unaware to you. Wow. I don't know who this guy was, but the thing is, he went away blessed eventually. Well, God has called us in this world to bless other people. And that's kind of a fun thing. That's a great calling. Point number 5, verses 10 through 12. Get in the victory in life, and that is creating a life of worship. Oh, this is so vital. You guys, this is essential. Creating a life of worship. And I really don't want what Samuel is trying to teach us here to fall upon deaf ears. This is so critical. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, that's a total commitment, you guys. You say, well, yeah, it was a total commitment for the animal, but, you know, Samuel's going to live another day. No, 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 no. To offer a burnt offering, yes, it was costly, but listen, the thing is, their hearts were not callous like our hearts are today about blood and about animal and about death. They were very earthy people. Can I put it that way? They were in touch. Look, can I offend somebody in here right now? They were more in touch with nature than the most devoted tree hugger who's ever lived. There's nothing profound about sitting on a rock in the middle of the forest meditating on your navel about being one with the universe. Okay? God's people love his creation. You don't have to be an environmental person to love his create or to want the creation to be protected. I think Christians should be the best custodians of what he's made. Here's the problem where you and I live, and here comes the offense. We're a culture that worships the creation more than the creator. It's terrible. We would rather have babies die and people perish to save a burrowing owl or a spotted owl or a gnat. This area is protected. Why? You can't walk over here. Why? There is a rare gnat that breeds in this area. How do you know? Because there's everything in the area that tells us that this is where they live. I've been told that before. You can't go here. You can't build here because the area historically could breed this little bird that lives in the Prado Basin, this region. It's migratory. Have you seen one? No, but they could live in this area. I'm serious. I had to spend $8,000 to find that out. So then, okay, now that you're telling me this, can I have the money back? Oh, no, no. But buddy, you better hope that there's no kangaroo rat on your land. This is crazy. It's worshiping the creation more than God. We have to be careful. Samuel takes this little lamb. And he loved the little life of that thing. He knew how precious it was in the sight of God, the life of that little lamb and its blood. He makes a burnt offering, knowing what it costs. They were much more in tune than we are today. He knew what he was doing. It was costly. But it was a sign of worship to God. Lord, I'm giving this life for you. And Lord, in a real way, there's a transference that's taking place that what I'm offering to you right now is on not only behalf of me, but this entire nation, this whole group of people. This is being conveyed through this little lamb. He makes an offering of worship. And so the Bible says the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. Can you see it happening in your mind's eye? This is kind of weird. Israel standing there like a deer in the headlights. The enemies rattling their swords and chariots. They're massive and they're big. Samuel has got an altar and he takes this animal and there's smoke ascending as the people are looking on defenseless. Now somebody who didn't know anything about God would say, they're going to get creamed. They're going to get slaughtered. Somebody who's not aware of God would say, run for your life. Look what happens. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you love to have seen that? And so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And all the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." It's worship. Man, are you troubled? Do you have a tendency to be troubled by the pressures of life? Listen, you guys, this is free, what I'm going to give you right now. It's totally free. No charge. Worship. Worship. I'm serious. Listen, test this and see if it's not true. And begin to worship the Lord and watch and feel, literally feel, your troubles be lifted. Okay, having said that, having you hearing that, put it to the test, and then you tell me later if I was wrong. It's that powerful worship is. That's why when we come together, why do we put worship before the word? To strip your life of what's plaguing you, to lift your spirit into the presence of God, to touch his heart, to bless him, and then he responds by giving the word. That's why it's that way, biblically. Verse 10 says to us, really, that worship is to be continuous in the life of the believer. Continuous. We also learn that worship is to be powerful. Look how powerful this worship was. You say, well, I don't get it. They're worshiping God. God takes care of the problem. That's powerful. I love that. Worship is to be continuous. Verses 10 and 11 teach us that worship is to be powerful. Verse 12 teaches us that worship is to be memorable. Thus far, they say, the Lord has helped us. And they set up a stone in memory of that. We need to be altar builders in our lives. Seriously, I mean it. You ought to be able to point to something. And, you know, I don't, this may sound silly to you, but I think you ought to do this, especially if you have young kids. You ought to do something. In our backyard, we have a tree. It's called Zacchaeus. The kids named him Zacchaeus. He was in a 5-gallon pot. Now the guy's gigantic. But it's cool because they remembered all these years, that's Zacchaeus. It's a sycamore tree, and it fits, Zacchaeus and sycamore tree. But to them, you know, all their life they've known about this tree. And the week that we moved into our house in Chino Hills, we went up on top of that big hill where the tree there is the logo for the city, that big tree that's on the police cars and all that stuff, that big tree is up there on that hill. And we stood there, and we didn't even know what we were doing. We stood there and prayed for the area. And I'll never forget it. The four of us were there, and we just said, Lord, deliver this land into your hands for your glory. And we prayed that prayer in 1986, and we didn't know what we were talking about. We just thought, you know what, maybe God wants to do something. Set up an altar. That tree can be an altar. It could be that you're somewhere and you say, you know what, from this point on, we're going to be faithful to each other, husband and wife. Or from this point on, a teen might say, you know what, from this point on, I'm going to stack these rocks over here in this part of our yard or over there in that area. And this is a dedication. This is a memory between me and God. I'm going to follow him. I think that's a great thing to do. And then finally, verses 13 to 17, getting the victory in life, that is maintaining a life with God. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel again, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territories. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And so Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all of those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Quickly, verse 13, the flesh must be kept in check. The Philistines are a type of the flesh. As long as Samuel was building altars and making worship unto God, listen, the flesh was held back. When you and I get sloppy in our worship, the flesh begins to rear its head. You know what I'm saying? The flesh begins to resurrect itself. The old man begins to come back. And then here, verses 16 to 17, the new life must be given air, must be given room. The new life must be given air. It says here in verse 16, he went from year to year in the circuit, that is, he judged these people in these cities, discerned. But the scripture says that he always returned and that he built that altar, the new life. He always made room for the new life. You want a victorious Christian life, you must make room for your Christian life. You will not succeed, you will not grow stronger, you will not be dynamic for the kingdom if the things of the world come first. You must discipline your life to put God first. We have to do this. And here's the deal, we end in this. Well, I need prayer, you say. Well, we all need prayer. No, things, you know, in my life are just falling apart, coming apart at the seams. I'm not walking with God like I once was. Well, what do you want to pray about? Well, I think I need counseling. Jesus says, remember where you fell down from, repent, and go do your first works. What's your first works? Putting God first. Remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? You were wacko for God. We need to be wacko for God again. Samuel, as we'll see next week in chapter 8, he grows old, in fact, too old to perform his office. But he never stopped being an altar builder. Dad, you better have an altar in your house. Your kids better know they're prayed for. Mom, be an altar builder. Let your family know that you love them. That there's something in that house that speaks of your dedication to God and to them. Teens, build an altar. Get radically dedicated to God and watch what happens. It's amazing. He's waiting for us to determine in our hearts, Lord, we're going to be victorious with you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Getting the Victory in Your Life. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7. And of course, we're looking at other passages as well, both in the Old and New Testaments, that speak of how the God of Israel works in the life of the true believer for his will and purposes, as well as for our spiritual growth. And that, my friend, is really true victory. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now get your pen and paper ready. We've got some contact info we'll have for you in just a minute. But first,
the world has got fears today. And you, Christian, are the only one that has the right answer for them.
In 1 Peter chapter 4, we're told to be prayerful, vigilant, and knowledgeable in God's word because we are in the last days.
Can you hold up your compass, your Bible? This is your compass for today.
With compass in hand. It's part of Pastor Jack's lessons called the Get Ready series, a collection of studies related to Bible prophecy.
Therefore, three things he lists: be serious, watchful, in your prayers. So be praying.
For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD called With Compass in Hand.
Your God knows the future in advance. He doesn't keep it to himself. He's revealed it in the Word of God, which came through the prophets.
Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Special Offer. realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.